The Right Stand with Anand Narasimhan.
Hello and welcome to this Right Stand podcast. I'm Anand Narasimhan. Weeknights, 7:57 onwards, we take the Right Stand on CNN News 18. And tonight, debate number one is around the politics that has now developed or that has now erupted on the Donald Trump visit, especially his visit to Gujarat, Ahmedabad. Yes, the political opponents of the government of the day have come out and raised their objection, saying, why are we falling over our feet when Donald Trump himself is not very, very impressed with India? And if we do not have a trade deal, what is it that India has done or India has not been able to do to ensure that we do have a trade deal in place? And this after Donald Trump addressed the media in the United States, where he talked about his expectations and his India visit, where he said that, yes, there is a trade deal in the offing, but I don't know if it will happen even before or after the elections in November, or that the US presidential elections in November, sounding very, very confident that he will be elected for a second term. On the other hand, he also said that there is a deal in place and there are some announcements, but I am very excited about my India trip, because India may not have been very, very kind to us, but I do like Narendra Modi personally. And I have expectations. And the fact is that I'm looking forward to the trip from the Ahmedabad airport, because he has said that there will be 7 million people on the roads. So is Donald Trump coming to see 7 million people on the roads? And what is India going to get after putting 7 million people on the roads? Now, these are the questions that the opposition is asking. And why are we falling over our feet to try and engage with a person who himself is not willing to give much to India in return? But is this entire bickering or this quibbling worth it? Or should people look at the larger strategic interest or the gains that India would make? One needs to understand that India needs US as an ally as much as it needs Russia and Japan and France, around the time when Chinese are going to create a certain amount of issues for India, directly or indirectly. The other aspect is that India is an able ally and is a stable ally as far as America is concerned, if their interests in this region are to be protected, especially given the fact that the equations with Pakistan are quite frosty. Also, India needs America on its side to keep Pakistan crippled as far as the FATF grey listing is concerned, and keep the pressure up on India's position against terrorism, and to try and get Pakistan to heal. Pakistan currently finding itself in the FATF grey list, not able to come out of it. And given the subgroup's recommendation that they should remain in the FATF grey list, it is only going to make borrowings more difficult for Pakistan. And its economy is already tottering. A tottering Pakistani economy, a crippled Pakistan economy, means that they won't have funds to spare for their proxy wars or to create disturbances on Indian soil. So there are plenty of considerations to be taken into account. Donald Trump also needs India as a large market, and of course, not just for sellers, but also manufacturers and trade, because of what is happening currently in China, which is going through a downturn, and of course, the coronavirus outbreak setback. All of these aspects put together, people are asking, did India really have to lay out the red carpet or fall over backwards to try and impress Donald Trump? And why is it that Donald Trump has made this trip more about the roadshow and the turnout of people rather than anything else? Or is this Trump's way of trying to make it all about himself, and this is in typical Trump style, that he would try to take the focus away from the deals and the strategic partnerships that would be stitched, and try and focus on himself and the crowd and people, because that's what happened when he saw the turnout for Modi as far as the Howdy Modi event in Texas was concerned. So is he trying to see that if Texas can turn out in such large numbers, or the Indian diaspora in US can turn out in such large numbers for a Howdy Modi event, what will Indians do back home for Prime Minister Narendra Modi, and will they turn out for Trump? So that seems to be the focus for Trump as far as his utterances to the media are concerned. But India, out of the 28 points that were highlighted as far as the trade deals and issues were concerned, is agreeable on 25. And that should be a big, big possibility and a big, big way forward as far as cracking this trade impasse is concerned. Both nations need each other at multiple levels, and both nations will try to get the better of each other at multiple levels. So this is a strategic game which will be played. Now, how much will this, will the creases be ironed out because of the bonhomie between Modi and Trump? That remains to be seen based on the announcements the two leaders make between the 24th and the 26th of February. Debate number two turns the spotlight back to one tiny corner of the national capital, which has also become a subject matter of global discourse around the Citizenship Amendment Act, and also the fact that how far can you push your right to protest while treading on another's right to liberty and right to freedom. Because the right to not protest should have equal weight as to right to protest. The right to block a road cannot supersede the right to use a road. And these are the aspects that the Supreme Court has also taken into consideration when it asked interlocutors to go and engage with the protesters at Shaheen Bagh. And increasingly the clarion call is, yes, they have the right to protest, but they've got no right to blockade. And with the courts looking at moving the protest to another site and finding an amicable solution, clearly the indications to the protesters are it's high time they stopped squatting on the roads, blocking, creating, causing such a massive roadblock, which is also resulting in a rippling effect of traffic jams across the national capital. The argument very clearly is from the protesters that till the time the act is not rolled back or there's no change from the government's position in its stance, we will not move from here. So this adamance and this unwillingness to budge from that spot was what the negotiators also encountered when they went to meet them today at Shaheen Bagh. And this engagement will continue on till Sunday, because the interlocutors have to go back to the court with their findings and with their understanding of the ground situation and their recommendations to the court on Monday. So we'll see how that turns out and pans out. But tonight, the simple position that we are taking is that, yes, they have the right to protest. They have the right to raise their voice. And that is what constitutionally, in a democracy like ours, is the right accorded to every citizen. But they don't have the right to impede and create disturbance and trouble and cause loss of livelihood, loss of earnings and loss of time to millions of others, other denizens who decide not to protest, who decide not to block roads, who decide to side with the government as far as the Citizenship Amendment Act is concerned. Do join us on the debate starting 7:57 p.m. tonight. Debate number two will start on at 8:45 p.m. on CNN News 18. Bye for now.
The Right Stand with Anand Narasimhan.